Think of a better way to do this. We always just go, welcome to the S3 Magazine podcast, but what the hell else are you going to say?
Yeah, I don't think you need to like change the world just to introduce the podcast.
Welcome to the S3 Magazine podcast. I am Jonathan Woolley, the guy in the green hat or red hat, green shirt is Mike Sanders. You know, Mike's going to kind of head this thing off today because I've been away from my desk and you just did a video on EVs, right? And how they are stacking up at the dealerships, regardless of kind of what the narrative says. The reality is these cars are stacking up at the dealerships. They're getting them produced now. And a lot of that bottleneck is freeing up to some extent. But the demand is not quite there, quite as much as they suspected it was going to be. I've read a little bit about this. I've seen it in the news, and I haven't really gone down the rabbit hole. But what are we talking about, Mike?
All right, Woolley. Well, first of all, way to go, Sling Blade. You kind of butchered that intro. But you know what? You saved it. It was okay.
Well, you know what? The people that are listening...
What are you doing? I don't know.
The people that are listening don't know the damn difference anyway. It's just going to be the few people that see this on YouTube. So
that's true.
Whatever.
So let's get down to it. So for basically ever since COVID and ever since they really started pushing the whole EV thing, what, year and a half, 2 years ago, what we've been hearing is that demand was outpacing supply. Right. They couldn't make the cars fast enough. And then the manufacturers couldn't get them to the dealerships fast enough. They couldn't get the raw materials. Everything was we can't. And so that allowed them to mark up the cars an incredible amount, which they're still doing. Except now the supply and demand curve has completely flip-flopped. So now you've got these cars starting to stack up at the dealership. And that's for several different reasons. Let's go ahead and put that out there right now. The economy is crap. Everybody's waiting on a crash any minute now. Interest rates are through the roof, so it's harder to buy a car now than it has been in a really long time. But on top of that, EVs are too expensive, you know, because they're costing a hell of a lot more to make than what the manufacturers ever thought they were going to. Everybody still has worries about the charging infrastructure, how they're going to do that. EVs in general, they don't fit everyone's lifestyle. If you live in an apartment complex and you don't have a house with a garage with a 220 volt charger in there, or you like to travel a lot, or you're a traveling salesperson or whatever, or else you need to tow things, like EVs don't work for you. And I just named 50% of everybody who lives in at least the Southeast, you know? So because of that, the demand is just not super high yet. Plus, you got to remember, it's still new tech. Nobody has really perfected this yet, except for Tesla. They haven't even perfected it yet, but they're the closest, you know, but you're still seeing a lot of bad recalls and batteries catching on fire and stupid shit like that. So we're still a long way away, which is why it still just completely blows my mind as to why the government has already set these precedents and these mandates of every manufacturer has to make nothing but EVs starting in 2035. It just let the market work itself out, man. People will buy EVs when they're ready for it. But when you push things and you force manufacturers to do stuff like this, well, now these manufacturers are all in a bad position because they've got a recession breathing down their throat. And now they've made lineups of cars that it looks like people can't afford and kind of don't want. So anyway, these things are stacking up at the dealership much faster than hybrids or gas-powered cars are. In fact, it seems like hybrids are kind of having a big renaissance right now. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I saw that hybrids are kind of killing it, having a record year, specifically Toyota. So it seems like when Akio Toyota was talking, a month or so ago about, you know, we need the hybrids as a stepping stone before we go full EV, you might have really been on to something there. You know, the guy's a hell of a lot smarter than a lot of people want to give him credit for. So let's kind of jump into this because there's a lot of different ways we can go with this. First of all, we were talking about supply and demand. If you look at a simple supply and demand curve, if the demand wanes off, you know, and the supply gets to be really, really high, the prices have to come down, right? That's what has to happen. The prices have to come down. You have to incentivize buyers to get these things gone, because what happens if you turn another calendar year, you get to 2024, and all of a sudden you've got just thousands and thousands and thousands of these 2023s sitting on the lots. Nobody's going to want to buy those. And on top of that, the manufacturers don't want to take a loss on them, because, I mean, think about how much more they actually have invested in these cars than they thought they were going to have, because China, you know, basically owns all the raw materials and the battery production for right now. I mean, they have absolutely got our automotive industry by the balls. And because of that, these guys are paying through the nose for a product that it seems like nobody wants. That's bad business, man. That is a bad, bad business plan. These guys are in for a lot of pain, it looks like, unless something changes very, very drastically. Now, we've seen our government step in and change it in the past. The question is, will they? What are they going to do? Are they going to set the mandates even closer to now and say, oh, now you guys have to do nothing but EVs in 2030 or 2028? Or are they going to start fining people for driving internal combustion engines? Or are they just going to go with the old playbook and say, make oil prices go through the freaking roof? You know, I mean, there's a lot of different plays that they can go with here. So it'll be interesting and probably painful for consumers to watch it happen, but we're gonna watch it unfold. Another thing to pay attention to is, wasn't it like Ford and a couple of other manufacturers that a couple of months ago were basically saying, we want to try the Tesla way of selling. We wanna just sell our EVs online. We don't need dealers for EVs. Dealers get in the way. They're a problem. They have markups. Man, can you imagine the shit show these guys would be in right now if they had actually listened to their own stupid freaking advice? Where would they put all these cars? These tens of thousands of cars that are not selling, would they just be sitting up at the Ford plant in Michigan? What would they do with them? Yeah. And you wouldn't have salespeople out there going, hey, Tanya, thanks for coming in today. I know you said you wanted whatever, but let's go look at this EV over here. That wouldn't be happening at all. It's basically you just put your shitty little website out there and hope that someone clicks buy now. But that's not realistic. Maybe when the market is great and there's way, way, way more demand than there is supply, that works. But when the market is normal, you got to remember, like, we're all living in this fantasy world, because the COVID market that is seemingly finally beginning to stop, that COVID market was not real life. That was every entrepreneur's wet dream to go and get rich quick is what that was. And a lot of people did. A lot of people made a ton of money fucking people over because of the whole supply and demand debacle that was created by just ridiculousness and stupidity all across the board. That's gone now. That fantasy land, that little wet dream that we all enjoyed, is freaking gone. So manufacturers, just remember, Ford, you're Ford. You're not Tesla, okay? They might be able to do it with just a website. You probably can't, and you probably shouldn't try, because your biggest, Anyway, your biggest win that you have for you is your dealership network. You have so many dealers, and every one of those dealers is chock full of salespeople selling Ford shit. You should let those guys cook. Holy crap. I'm a little out of breath. It's like I've been talking for a while, man. You take over for a minute. Go ahead.
I think just to kind of expand on what you were saying, like, the dealerships are nobody's favorite person right now, because they have been greedy and they have been gouging and they've been taking advantage of the perceived low supply and they've been overcharging and all that, right? We all hate the dealerships for that. And we're all on the same page. But imagine for a second, like you said, if Ford was especially vocal about this, so was GM, that they wanted to go to an online only for their EVs, just like Tesla, because they're trying to be just like Tesla. Those cars would be stacking up severely. They'd probably be at the speedways like the F-250s and the Broncos were when they didn't have their chips, just sitting there, baking in the sun, freezing in the winter, waiting for people to buy them, except there would be no person at the dealership to drive the sale. It would just be them with a website, maybe a incentive on that website, but like no way to sell the car, no way for somebody to go, hey, come over here and let's look at that. You know, hey, I don't know how you feel about EVs, but have you driven one? Let's go take this thing around the block. No way to push those cars. Also, I read somewhere that GM and Ford and the like a lot of those guys aren't profitable on their EVs right now. Now, if it was all working the way it should be working, in theory, EVs will be a lot more profitable than internal combustion. It's a lot less moving parts. And that leaves a lot more room for profit. But as it sits now, with all the unexpected curveballs, they're not making money on these cars. From what I've read, I don't know for sure. Tesla is, you know, but a lot of these guys are still taking a loss or kind of barely, you know, breaking. They're trying to push the agenda right now more than immediately make money on the cars. And if the cars aren't moving at this price, how much more can they slash it? You know, and man, there's a lot to it. We're coming up on an election, you know, like what? I mean, I would think by, you know, next year, that's really going to be in the news, the campaigns and everything like that. And I think that get ready to start watch the backpedaling. You know, like watch these companies backpedal everything they've said for the past 2 years or so, because I think they're paying attention. They realize that the demand isn't there like they thought they could force it to be or market it to be, right? Like it's just not there. Yes, the coastal metropolitan cities, the Chicago's, you know, obviously California, like these people are buying these things, but a lot of them have done bought them. You know what I mean? And like, so, you know, what are we at 7%? I don't know what it is now of cars on the road or EVs nationally or something like that. But like, how much higher is it going to go before it starts to hit a ceiling? You have the Biden administration is making the most stringent emission laws we have ever seen, essentially forcing EVs because they're making the emission laws impossible. They're absurd. And you know, that's the Biden administration's strategy is, well, if they're so absurd and you can't meet them, I guess you got to go EV, you know, and they're imposing these stringent emissions by like, I think it's 2032 or whatever their deadline is. They're trying to basically strong arm these guys into complying. But we're also a year and a few months away from an election. So if you're a manufacturer, at what point do you go, you know what, let's fucking pump the brakes a little bit. Like we've tried it, we're trying it, and the demand is not there. We started running ad campaigns that basically bully people. You know what I mean? Like I've seen some ad campaigns. I think it was a Hyundai ad campaign. Was it Hyundai? Yeah, Hyundai Ioniq 5, where they use Kevin Bacon. And they're like, his daughter's like, this guy can't even get his email working right. But even he knows that EVs are the future. They're like belittling people into like, oh, come on, even this boomer knows that EVs are the future. So that, you guys, that's marketing, right? When you see these commercials, it's not reality. They are spending a lot of money to try and change your perspective, to peer pressure you into thinking that this is the future. And the harder they push, the harder it's not naturally the future, right? But I think you might see some of that back off a little bit because I think some of these manufacturers are going to go, you know what, we're more than halfway through the Biden administration. Obviously the demand isn't exactly there. It's not spreading like wildfire. Maybe we need to just pause, see what happens during the election, because unfortunately we live in a country where everything's so damn divided now that, you know, when it comes to this EV push, an election can change everything. You know what I mean? Like you get a Republican in there or somebody and they could just be like, yeah, no, we're not worried about that, man. You guys build which you think your customers want, because that's the American way to do it. And yes, there are guidelines to make sure we're not doing it totally irresponsibly, but you know what? We also have to run a country, and you guys have to be able to provide.
It's funny you say that, because the last two presidents that have gotten into office, that's immediately what they did, was the first like month is all just repealing stuff that was already signed into law by the previous administration.
Right.
So, and that sucks.
That sucks that we've gotten to this point. And that's a whole political topic that me and you aren't equipped to deal with. The lesson to be learned is don't fucking vote on one topic. Don't get baited into one cause. And that goes for both sides. That goes for all of us. That goes for you and me. We tend to get, you know, obviously the car thing is near and dear to our heart, and that can steer us to vote one way or the other. But you gotta look at everything, and you gotta realize no matter what side you're on, the answers are usually somewhere in the middle. It's a compromise. And when they're baiting you on these like hugely divisive topics, whether it has to do with, you know, gay marriage or transgender or Black Lives Matter, or now the environment is one of them, or vaccinations or corona, like this shit is just to get votes. It's just to pull you away from rationality and try and get you so mad, pro-life, you know, to try and get you so mad at one thing that you will, I mean, a candidate can be 80% with you, 20% maybe you don't agree with, but they're gonna focus on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you guys fucking be smart. The damn country depends on it now. Like, stop getting baited. We've been getting baited, obviously, at least since 2008 election, just pandering to minorities, to subcultures, to these different groups, and just fucking up the course of the country on single topic issues that don't have an easy answer. Like, you know, like, it's just the way it is. But anyway, hang on, I've got little notes here. Oh, on top of that, I forgot to mention, China is putting limitations on the amount of minerals that foreign countries can buy. It's hitting Europe harder than it's hitting us right now, because Chinese cars are really infiltrating the European car market. The European car makers are starting to realize, holy shit, what have we done? We've kind of pushed an agenda, thrown a grenade in the room when nothing was broken and we had a status quo. And we've done it under this kind of false bullshit pretense of the environment that you can't really measure. And now China has got us by our European balls. And they're bringing Chinese cars into this country, and they are not selling us the minerals to be competitive. Right? Checkmate. And that's coming to America. It's not going to hit America as fast as it's going to hit Europe, but there's Lincolns that are now being made in China, like BYD and that Geely, whoever the hell that is. They're coming. They're trying to come in here. They're going through the red tape. They're going to make it happen. And they are not going to play nice with companies like Ford and GM that need them right now. And that's making Ford and GM scramble and try and figure out how to do it on their own. But guess what? They're a decade and a half behind. It's a fucking disaster. So expect the backpedaling and enjoy it. Get your popcorn and enjoy it when you see it. Let us know by all means, because we want to watch it too. But I just think that this inventory thing is the tip of the iceberg. And I think you're going to start, I just think you're going to start seeing them change their tune a little bit. I could be wrong. Could be totally freaking wrong. This could be a little blip of bad sales. Like you said, there's a lot of other things that are affecting sales in general. High interest rates, inflated prices. I mean, that's what's keeping me from, you know, getting some sort of new project car. It's a stupid time to buy a car.
It is. It's not smart. Same thing with buying a house. That's why the market is falling. Going back to what you just said, yeah, you're right. With China, what we're seeing right now is absolutely masterful business plans coming to fruition that have been in play for years and years and years now. You know, they've owned these mines for a super long time, these lithium and cobalt mines, and it's finally paying off. And there's a couple things happening here. So other countries, including the U.S., are starting to say, we're going to start mining for lithium and cobalt in our own country, tearing up our own land to try to get, you know, supply everything for these EVs. And China knows that that's coming. They know that as of right now, they're basically the sole provider for that. So their time to make money off of us is limited. So they're looking at it and going, make it hurt. Let's see how badly we can hurt these automotive manufacturers and how rich we can get in the process before they become self-sufficient. Go. And you just, I mean, they control the supply and we have created the demand. You know, our government has created the demand. It's just not smart business. I mean, you just look at it and then we are just getting throttled by people who are professional businessmen, and we have become a country of professional virtue signalers who are just getting our freaking lunch stolen right now by people who actually understand money and how to make it.
Yeah, it's not smart business. It's not smart government. It's not putting the people first. We all want what's best for the planet. That should be pretty obvious, but they're using quote unquote the environment like a freaking weapon, right?
Time out. That's such bullshit. We hear that a lot, but that's such bullshit. If we really wanted what was best for the environment, people would be driving around in four-cylinder, four-door vehicles like we did back in the 80s and 90s. You wouldn't have soccer moms driving around with one kid in a gigantic Tahoe. You wouldn't have abominations like the Hummer EV being made. None of that shit is economical at all. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I didn't mean.
No. That. Yeah. My point was, I don't think anybody wants to destroy the planet for our kids. That's not the intent. I think it's the hypocrisy of this whole fucking thing. The fact that they're going after specifically the automotive aftermarket, that's one thing that's completely ridiculous, because that's just a minority group of hobbyists. That is not killing the planet. That's what I'm saying. They're wielding this, the environment, quote unquote, like a fucking weapon. And you know, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, you're going to question us? Well, then I guess you just fucking hate the environment, which is like the new like racist, right? It's like, oh, so I guess you're environment racist. It's like, what the no, like I'm not environment. This is fucking ridiculous. Like when it comes, and I'm getting off topic because I'm going from the automotive industry and new cars to the hobby of modifying cars. But the reality is that the EPA is absolutely, unarguably coming after the automotive aftermarket and trying to kill it. That means trying to kill what you love, trying to kill your art, trying to put a multi-billion-dollar industry out of business, out of work, right? And they're doing it because of the environment. These cars are not the leading cause of any sort of climate problem. In a lot of cases, these cars don't even see a lot of mileage, but common sense is not in this equation, and that's scary. Like, we've got people in charge, people that can make laws and that can shut you down and fine you, that are not using common sense in their operation. Like, that's bad fucking news. And so we've got this bad government going on. And then I can't put this piece of the puzzle together, but we have bad CEOs in these automotive positions that are running businesses badly, that are literally just heading off of a cliff, man. And it's like you said, China's been competing with us over this for 15 or 20 years, and we don't know that we've been in a competition. And now it is to the point where it's checkmate, and they are going to make it hurt. And when the American brands and the European brands lose what made them special, because EV is going to level the playing field, it's all the same shit. Don't be fooled. The difference between a Volkswagen and a Mercedes is basically going to become size of the screen and the adaptive shocks, you know, but like the little intricacies are no longer going to be there. Level playing field, hurting American and European industry car, you know, manufacturers, like that's when China's going to come in. That's when, you know, your kids are going to be buying Chinese cars on Amazon with American sounding names. And that sounds dramatic, but it's not that far off. It might be a little embellished, but it's not that far off, guys. Not that far off. And like I said, we threw that grenade in the room. We had the hierarchy, right? Like it was established, and somehow, some way, we have just thrown that grenade in the room, flipped everything on its head, and we are in danger of losing these legacy automotive brands.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do they deserve to stay? At this point, I mean, you know,
I don't believe in the whole too big to fail thing. If somebody fails, so be it. Somebody else can buy them and pick up the pieces or whatever. But if a company, as the way it is structured with the leadership that it has, fails, then it's over. They deserve to fail. That being said, you brought up a really good point about CEOs. Because we're seeing a drastic change. And I know that this has been happening forever, but I feel like the brands that you and I grew up loving are all starting to get bought out now by finance companies and just larger Fortune 500s and stuff like that. And they're completely changing. Because what we saw growing up was the companies that we love being driven and led by the person who actually had the initial idea, made the initial product, and built the brand. That person, guy or girl, whatever, was the most passionate person that could possibly be about that product and that brand. And they're so innovative, and they're typically just always looking to make it better and better and better and better. And then they eventually get old, and they sell out to some big company so that they can go and retire and say, good career, we did awesome. Now we're going to hang it up and go to Florida and just go fishing for the next 30 years. But the problem is now it gets in the hands of basically suits. You know, this is where the term suits come from, because it's basically just a glorified accountant. Somebody who comes in there and goes, we're going to cut here. We're going to cut here. We're not going to do that anymore. That's too dangerous. OSHA's going to get super pissed about that. No more fun. No more good stuff. No more innovation. That was really profitable. So that's all we're going to do. And they just come in here and they just knock everything out that's not profitable. And that's basically what happens. You're seeing that right and left now with all these companies. And it's kind of gotten even further than that, because sometimes these CEOs are really, really good at budget cutting and making things profitable. And they get so profitable so that they get bought out by these massive, you know, market equity firms. And whenever those big boys come in, well, then they've got the money to do whatever the hell they want. They can just come in there and bulldoze the brand for fun. They might just buy it just so they can come in and screw everything up and leave. And you're seeing a lot of that happen too in the market. There is some ridiculous, crazy shit happening right now because there is too much money in certain companies in certain segments. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day, but it is a good point, because CEOs, after a couple decades, they're just not what they originally were, and companies drastically change.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing that all the time. Another thing I just thought of when you were talking, let me play this out. So China puts the hurt on American and European car manufacturers. They're not selling enough minerals. They're basically starving them out, right? So when they starve to a certain point and they're completely desperate, they got to make a deal. You know, and then you see partnerships with Chinese companies, and so you're still driving a Ford in 10 years, but it ain't, you know, it's a BYD.
Yeah, either they have to reach out and extend the olive branch to China and let them essentially take half of our automotive market, or you got to go to Uncle Sam and the taxpayers and say, guys, please help me. And I mean, and you see how that goes. I mean, people think about how many people still hate GM because they got bailed out in the 08 crash.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's bad news all around.
Yep. All right. That about covers it. Bad news all around. And all we can do at this point as car enthusiasts is pop our popcorn, sit back, and watch the backpedaling. It's going to be between the lines. It's not, you know, you're not going to see these guys come out and go, hey, I don't know what the hell we were thinking the last couple of years, but we're not going to do that anymore. Sorry for the Mach-E. That was a big fuck up. We fired that guy.
And other than just sitting back and watching, the most important thing car guys can do right now, sit back and pay attention to Facebook Marketplace for all your friends who went out and bought stuff that they shouldn't have, and especially the ones who took loans out on stuff with really, really high interest rates, because they're going to be looking to get out from under that debt, and they're going to try to sell it for a low price, and you should take advantage of it. But hey, you didn't hear that from me. Anyway, happy hunting, guys. Go find some project cars.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. We're S3 Magazine. You can check us out on our website, s3mag.com. But please also get the free app. That helps us out a lot. We're trying to boost that up. It's new. It's called S3 Magazine. It's on Apple. It's on Android. Anyway, yeah, that's about all I got. What about you?
That's it, man. Take care, guys.